What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode 39 of Buzzer Beaters, a podcast that's dedicated to basketball with an emphasis on the NBA. Grumblings Media brings you Buzzer Beaters, and we're a property of Grumblings Media. You can find us at grumblingsmedia.com. You can also find us at various podcast outlets that you can think of, such as Apple, Spotify, Google, Pandora, X, Facebook, you name it, we're there. If this is your first time here, we go about an hour and 30 minutes lately, right? our intent is to go an hour, but we have been definitely knee-deep on some content that we spent the last 7 weeks. And if you haven't seen our show before, the last 7 weeks, we went through a very iterative process of identifying the best one-on-one player in the NBA in history, as well as the best starting five from a divisional standpoint in NBA history. And we concluded that last week, and it was a fun process, man. We went through that, and, you know, we crowned, you know, for those of you who haven't, we're going to spoil it for those of you who haven't seen it, but it's good for you to see the process, how we got there. But we crowned Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon as the best one-on-one player of all time. And it was down to him and Michael Jordan. And we used also, you know, some AI, right? We used yes. AI. I know, you know, Tuan was using ChatGPT. I don't know what are the ones he was using. But they all, you know, at least ChatGPT supported the claim that Olajuwon was the best guy, right, amongst yep. everybody that we faced him up against. So, but, yeah, that was a fun process. And then we also crowned the best divisional team, which was the central division of the Eastern Conference, which was LeBron, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Reggie Miller, Isaiah Thomas, and Michael Jordan. So yeah. That was a fun process, man. Now, we're going to have to come up with something like that again. I know you came up with an idea last time, Swan, of maybe kind of coming up with, like, the worst draft pick for each franchise.
Yeah, or the biggest whiff.
Or the biggest bust, you know? Right?
The biggest
right?
whiff, yeah.
The biggest Ryan Leaf of basketball, the biggest
Jamarcus Russell. Well, no, I was thinking, Eddie, like, the biggest, like, player that they should have drafted that they didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So let me do that.
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking, for example, Charlotte should have never traded Kobe.
Oh, for sure. I got you. And the Warriors should have never drafted Todd Fuller, right?
Add Kobe. Yeah. Or never drafted Joe Smith. We could have Kevin Garnett or
whoever, right? Yeah.
So, on and on.
So, but anyway, we wanted to kind of give you an idea of what we talked about for the last 7 weeks. And this week, you know, we're actually getting close to the NBA playoffs. We're about, for most teams, about 25 to 26 games away from the end of the regular season. And what we're going to go over today's show, we're going to have three topics in particular that we're going to go over. We're going to cover the NBA playoff races in both conferences. Yeah. We actually broke down some analytics, too, from each of the conferences. We're going to look at the conferences from a different analytics standpoint, kind of compare and contrast some of these top 10 teams only. We're only focusing on the teams that are actually vying for playoff position. 11 through 15 are not part of this conversation, all right? But we're going to focus on that. We're going to compare the conferences on an analytical basis as well, analytics basis, I should say. And then we're going to dovetail into something that we've been doing on a monthly basis. And we've been covering the rookies on an analytics basis. We have essentially, you know, minutes played and then also the points per game. You know, we rank them from 1 to 10, and then we have a full overall analytics, you know, what, you know, from rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, all these things, and how they're ranked on that point, from that standpoint, and then how they rank, how that rankings compares to the one that NBA.com does every month, which yep. is the NBA rookie ladder. So we're going to do a comparison of that. We do this on a monthly basis, just kind of see if we can predict who's going to be the NBA rookie of the year, right? And then the last one is, you know, we always do this. We cover the segment. You know, Tuan and I have had this contest, you know, over the last, since the beginning of the season, where we picked a rookie team of five. And then, you know, we've been keeping track of their stats and then kind of see how we're kind of competing against each other. And then we also picked teams in the conference and how we thought they were going to be seeded at the beginning of the season. And then we're going to see how we're at right now. And it's been moving on a month or a day to day basis, really. So,
yeah.
But anyway, Tuan, that's where we're going to start off with. So before we get into it, man, how you been, man? What's been going on with you, man?
I've been good. I know I wanted to tell you a little story. So after we did our best one-on-one, I went a little YouTube surfing, right?
Yeah,
and I found this YouTube where this – and I give him credit, but I don't remember his name. he did a whole one-on-one on like NBA 25, you know, 2K25.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever, that, you know? That was the impetus of why that motivated me to do that.
Correct. So he did it, and I'm going to give you three guesses as to who you think won.
I know who won. It was Shaquille O'Neal.
That's right. You saw it. Okay.
Yeah, I saw that one. That was what prompted me to do this. And because I'm like, Shaquille O'Neal, come on, man. No way, right?
That's what I'm thinking. No way.
Yeah, there's no way, man. I mean, he would have ran out of gas, dude. This loser's ouse, right?
Well, you know, and in that game, there was some surprise. Like, Anthony Davis knocked out Akeem. He knocked out a couple of different guys. Kevin Garnett, who you and I had an argument about.
Right.
In terms of Durant Garnett one-on-one, he knocked out some people. So it was pretty interesting watch. You know, if I see another one, I'll kind of watch a different one. But I thought I agree with you. I'm like, there's no way in hell Shaq's going to win.
No way, man. I agree with you, man. There's no way. Yeah. I mean, his biggest skill was that he was 340 pounds, man. That's his biggest skill.
Correct.
And he actually was pretty agile for his size, right?
Yeah.
So before I forget, though, we are live, and we are live because we want to hear from you. We are live here every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, every Wednesday, except next Wednesday, right? Next Wednesday, we're going to take a week off. And the reason being is because my daughter is going on spring break, and she's come flying up here on Friday night, and then we're departing to Arizona on Saturday, coming back next Thursday. So we already told the producers we're taking the week off. Twan, hopefully you can kind of have some form of spring break for yourself next week.
Yeah, we'll see what I can do.
Yeah. But anyway, so we're going to take a break. But anyway, we want to hear from you. We've had a lot of commentary over the last – since we did that whole segment of the best one-on-one and best divisional team, we had a lot of participation from people who listen to the show, which is great. We invite that. We definitely want to hear more commentary. What are the things that you like about our show? What are the things you'd like to see us improve on? These are the things, we're here for you. So we're here to bring in NBA content primarily. We do dibble and dabble in NCAA men's tournament as well as WNBA, but when it's appropriate, right? We don't do it every now and then. But, you know, the NCAA tournament's coming up here in a few weeks, Twan. So we're going to have to focus on that pretty soon, man.
Yep, we're going to have
Yeah, for sure, man. So, all right, well, so let's go ahead and dovetail into what we're going to talk about this week. So
I wanted to touch on three subjects really quick.
Before we get into it?
Yeah, before we get into it, just quick. So I wanted to talk about, I think both of us, but I'll speak for myself, three mistakes or three things I called wrong, after the NBA trade deadline.
We'll start
with the first most obvious one.
Butler's trade, dude. Yeah.
I didn't like it.
I thought
it wouldn't work.
Dude, most NBA, most Warrior fans didn't like it.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's still too early to say, yay, it was a total victory. But there's a couple of things that came out of that that kind of surprised me. The first thing is Jimmy Butler's ability to be where they're not. Like, he has an innate ability to move around where they're not using space. And for the Warriors, it's traditionally been in the key. So he hovers in the key, and so he fills that all right. That's surprise number one. Surprise number two is, in my wildest dreams that I never – and I don't mean this as an insult, but I never thought that Draymond would turn into fangirl for Jimmy Butler.
Oh, my God, he is, though. That's a good call.
In a million years, I did not see that.
But you know what? I'm wondering if that's, like, sincere Draymond, that he's being fanboy to him. Or if he's being told by the organization, look, man, we made this big deal. You have a volatile personality. He does, too. We need to make this work. So you better chill out. Who knows, man? Something like that.
Yeah, but if you look at history, Eddie, when has Draymond ever cared what the franchise wanted? I mean, he threw so many people under the bus. He says things on his podcast. I mean, he'll say whatever the hell's on his mind. And he genuinely looks like he looks up to Jimmy Butler. I agree with that.
And Lewis.
There he is. Hey, Lewis.
I think all three of us were anti-Butler, but he surprised the heck out of me.
Yes.
Absolutely, Lewis. And
I agree.
Of my buddies who are also Warrior fans, they also said the same thing. We just did not see this thing happening. But to get back to the point we were talking about, I think, Steph Curry probably had a say in this, right? He's probably putting his foot down a little bit and saying, look, Draymond, as much as Curry can put his foot down, really, right?
Yeah.
Like, when he talks, people listen because he doesn't really say too much, controversially, right? He's pretty even keeled. He's a corporate guy. He's a great face for the NBA, right? Great. Probably one of the greatest faces we've ever seen in the NBA.
I agree, by far.
But I think he probably told Draymond, look, yo, man, look, I understand, but we got to make this thing work, man. We only got a few years left. Let's make this count, man. He could have easily said that, right? And Draymond falls
in. I hear you, Eddie. But the thing that I keep thinking about is Draymond ran up against the guy.
Yeah.
That Draymond doesn't like. So Draymond's not tougher than Jimmy Butler.
No, we don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I'll put it to you this way.
We don't know.
Jimmy Butler's not taking any smack.
He's not going to take any smack.
Okay. All right. So he's at minimum as tough as Draymond, if not tougher.
They're about the same size, right? They're similar size. I would say he's
the more talented player. Overall, Draymond's the better defensive player. But Jimmy Butler's like a better version of Draymond. Like he makes Draymond less necessary.
You pointed that out last show. He is a better version of Draymond Green from an offensive standpoint. I wouldn't say he's a better version of Draymond Green from a defensive standpoint.
But he provides enough defense.
He does provide enough defense, right? But Draymond's a whole nother level of defense, right? We just know he is, right? But
I think Draymond knows this, and that's why Draymond is kind of paying his respects to Jimmy Butler. Like, I think Draymond knows that Jimmy makes Draymond less necessary.
It's possible, man. But you could definitely see the fanboy kind of tendencies that Draymond's showing, because he is totally agreeing to everything that Jimmy Butler seems to be the alpha dog of the team right now, man, honestly. Mm-hmm. He does, right? He just seems like he's taking on that role. And I don't know if it's organically or if it was forced. We'll find out, right?
But I didn't see that coming at all.
I didn't either, man. All right, so what was another point you wanted to
bring up?
Second wrong
thing that I was wrong about was I thought the Lakers would suck this year from here on out.
Right.
And they haven't.
No.
They have no low post defense.
Yeah.
And freaking LeBron. I mean, that dude is just, as much as I hate to him,
he's incredible, man.
He's incredible.
No, he is incredible. He's incredible. Yeah. And I, dude. As Warrior fans, we can't like LeBron, man.
No, we can't, but he is an incredible basketball player.
I respect him as a basketball player, okay? Because the things that he is doing at his age, and that dude looks like he can play for another 5 years, man. Easy. I mean, he's not even showing any signs of slowing down.
No.
He's shooting better than he ever has in his life, man.
Yeah.
He can shoot, right? And, you know, Luka kind of takes off a lot of the burden from him to have to do everything, right?
Luka
has been fitting in. I mean, they've won three in a row. All right, they've been winning
And Luka's just getting warmed up.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? He's looking more svelte, man. He's looking like he's cut down with some poundage, right?
He heard the rumors. His ears are like.
He's getting a LeBron training program, bro.
Right.
I mean, he's probably waking up doing all kinds of stuff, man. Yeah. So, all right. Any other points you want to bring up?
So the third one, and this one's a little bit more circumstantial, which was the opposite of the Lakers, which I thought Dallas was going to be significantly better. Now, they got a bunch of injuries, which shouldn't shock anyone. But, man, all three of their bigs are out.
Dude.
So they're heading downhill, which I thought they were going to – I was worried more about them than I was about the Lakers. I thought they were going to kind of
– Yeah, but you know what? Dallas is going to get Gafford back. They're going to get Davis back. I think Davis is probably about another 3 to 4 weeks away, right? We know Lively's out for the season, right?
Correct.
He has some kind of stress fracture. He's done. Then you have Dwight Powell, who doesn't really play that much, right? He's out of Stanford. He's a local kid. He was out too. So, but the fact that they're playing this well still without those guys impresses me. That tells me that when those guys come back, they are a freaking problem, dude.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They are a problem, right?
They are. But it is a significantly different style they're going to play when the big guys are back. They're playing small ball. They're playing Nelly ball right now, which – You know, as we know historically, that's a much stronger offensive. You know, you're going to get a lot more offense out of a small ball team than you would out of a bigger team. But when those guys come back, their defense is going to go up, and we're going to see how much, if any, their offense will suffer.
We'll see, man. But you know, their analytics show pretty well, and that's what we're going to go ahead and jump into.
Yes,
man.
So, let's go ahead.
Go ahead and jump into the first slide that I sent you. So what we're going to go over. Is we're going to go over the Eastern Conference first, but we broke it down. And just for those of you that, you know, have your phones, you're probably going to have to zoom in a little bit on the screen. And maybe for those of you on PCs, you know, maybe you have to zoom in a little bit. We try to make, you know, this as as least of an eye chart as possible. Okay.
So it's hard,
but what it is. Yeah. So what I wanted to show you here is what, so that I can break down what everybody's seeing here, is that we're breaking down the Eastern Conference. These are the top 10 teams as it stands today before the game started today. Right. So you can see on the far left, 1 through 10, that's how they're seeded. Right. Then I went through different categories. There are, what, 6 different categories here. So we have offensive rating, which the show, we've gone through this multiple times. So you guys all should be pretty familiar with what that term is. But you can see offensive rating, and then right to the left of that is the rank. That's what RK means, is rank. So you can see how they rank in the entire NBA. It's not per conference. It's in the entire NBA. Then you go to the defensive rating, and again, the rank. Then you have net rating, again, the rank. And then true shooting percentage, okay? Now, true shooting percentage is an analytics type of stat that measures the efficiency of a player's ability to score two-pointers, three-pointers, and free throws, taking attempts into consideration. And there's a bunch of other little formulas here that come into it. But that's a true reflection of how a team can shoot, okay? That's what we used. And then free throw percentage is the next one and how they're ranked. And then the starters, like the points that the starters on that team score on a nightly basis and how they rank against everybody else in the NBA. And finally, the bench. Okay, you can see how they rank. Now, you can see here, bro, that in the top, to me, out of all of these, you know, different statistical categories, the one that doesn't lie is net rating, bro. Net rating is the one that tells you how good a team really is. And if you look at, you know, the Cavs, the Celtics, the Knicks, those are all single-digit net rating guys, right? All of them. Yeah. Now, you can see, look at the Cavs, 11.1. Now, last year, the Boston Celtics broke it at 11.7, which is crazy. We're going to go to the West, and that's even better when we get to the West. But you can see that.
Well, what's scary, Eddie, is the Cavs are 11.1, and they're second ranked.
No, isn't that crazy, man? That's who number one is. That tells you who number one is. And by the way, for those of you who don't know how net rating is calculated, you just look at the offensive rating, defensive rating, and you subtract one from the other, right?
Yep.
And that's going to give you, if it's the offensive rating's higher than the defensive rating, you're going to get a net rating that's positive. And if it's the other way around, like you can see with the Pacers at number 4, that's actually supposed to be a negative 0.8, which I did not see, but that should be a negative 0.8 there and not a positive 0.8, because 115.1 is greater than 114.5. Therefore, it's a negative from a defensive standpoint. But you can see that, you know, you look at all of these categories, and net rating doesn't lie. Now, what's interesting is that going into the other, like the far right, you know, as you're looking at the screen.
Yep.
If you look at, like, the starters and the bench, man.
Yes.
This is an interesting trend, bro.
This is – I paid quite a bit of attention to this.
Oh, it's crazy, man. Go ahead.
So a couple of things that you can come out of this, right? So I have a – I'm going to, like, play both sides of the fence here. So argument number one, when you get to the postseason, your rotation tightens up, right? So it tightens up to maybe 7-8 players max. So the bench plays a lesser of a role. But at the same time, how tired are your starters when they're carrying the burden throughout the whole season?
Throughout the regular season.
And how hosed are you if one of your starters gets hurt?
Correct.
Right? Because now you're pulling in 4 guys from the bench, which is really close to what your rating is going to be now, right? Because let's say you got an 8-man rotation, one guy gets hurt, one guy gets pulled up, you still have an 8-man rotation, you got 4 bench players that you're playing. So I'm really going to be curious, because the Knicks, and you and I have had this conversation a lot. Like, I just think that the Knicks, they get tired when it gets to the postseason. Because they're just, the starters are worked to death.
I think Thibodeau runs like a 6-man rotation on most nights, man.
Exactly. Guess, right? He is killing them. But the one that shocked me were the Celtics. Like, because the Celtics, we think they're a pretty well-rounded team. They got a lot of good bench players, but their bench is 26th in the league in terms of scoring, which is incredible.
I agree. That was surprising. I mean, look at this. But you know what this shows me, bro, is that the Cavaliers are the team to beat.
Yes.
I mean, you look at their starters and their bench, dude, it's pretty even, dude.
Correct.
I mean, that tells me that, this team is deep and they're a problem. And then you look at their true shooting percentage, they're number one. I mean, they're blowing teams out because they shoot so well, right? Now, their free throw percentage isn't the best. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean if your free throw percentage is good that you're going to be a better team, because look at the Chicago Bulls. They're number 2 in the entire NBA, and they're at 83.5, and they're the 10th ranked team. So, it's, you know, free throws is a part of the game. It's not a big part of the game, right?
My rule is typically if you can hover around the 80 percentile in free throws, you're all right.
You're doing pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you can look at most of these guys right here. Most if you look at the entire Eastern Conference, there's only two teams that are in the 80% range. Everybody else is below 80%, right? So yeah, very interesting, man. So all right, so anything else stand out to you as you look at as you were looking through this?
No, game? No, the bench. You know, obviously we're not gonna. I mean, we don't want to, like you said, we don't want to throw over a lot of stats, but one thing that's obviously important to free throw percentage as well is how often a team goes to the line. Like,
yeah,
how many times a game are they fouled, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're like the Pistons and you're shooting 83%, but you only get fouled five times a game.
Doesn't mean jack.
You're only shooting jack. Five free throws a game, but yet if you're the Cavs, you're 78 and you're going to the line 20 times a game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a huge
That's difference. A better so, indicator, right?
Yeah. So you really need to know how often a team's getting to the line.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Now, I tried to kind of put a little box, you know, there for 7 through 10, right? And it kind of got in the way for looking at the 7
formatting.
Through 10.
It's going to be a formatting. Right?
Formatting's a little jacked. But there's a line there for a reason because those are the teams that are be in the play-in right now. What's
correct.
Interesting, though, bro, is that the Magic have fallen big time, dude, right? But if you look at their composition of their team as far as analytics standpoint, they're number two defensive rating the entire NBA.
Yes.
They're a defensive-minded team. It's just their offense. That's how I thought that they were going to make a trade, man. I thought they needed some more offensive firepower. I mean, granted, they did have offensive firepower when, you know, Banchero and Wagner were there, right? But then they got hurt, right? And then, you know, they were hurt for a long period of time, and that was we thought a blessing in disguise because that would have helped all these other guys, you know,
right.
get their games going. But then Jalen Suggs gets hurt too. I mean, this team is just completely like, you know
–
Yeah, they're snake bit, man, right now. Yeah. So, but there's still a problem. But when we first started covering, we started doing this, they were the fourth seeded team, and they have just fallen.
No, I agree. Right? And one thing to note is, as you and I both know, and I'm sure a lot of people that will be watching this know, defense travels. So
for
I
sure.
wouldn't be surprised if the Magic get, I don't want to say upset, but they upset some games or make a first round tough, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right now, they would host the Bulls, right? If it ended today, they would host the Bulls at home. In the play-in
yep.
game, and then the winner of if the Bulls win, then the Bulls got to play the winner of the Hawks, Heat, and so
yep.
on and so forth. But if the Magic win, then they move on. So
right.
when you have a solid defensive team, and if you look, right, again, who's the number one defensive team? They're not on here. They'll come in
right.
the next slide.
They're coming in the next slide, yep.
Like you said, they're the second-best defensive team, and that does count for something.
It does count for something.
I think that if they can get their offense going, because Banchero had a hell of a postseason last year.
For sure.
He really shown out. So if he does something like that, then I think they got the makeup of a team that could upset somebody who's higher ranked than them.
Yeah, and there's a reason why they are ranked so low offensively. I mean, they weren't a juggernaut last year either, right? But
mm-hmm.
but there's a reason is because their top players were out for a long period of time, man, and
yep.
everybody else had to kind of step up and did their best to kind of maintain their position and couldn't. But now all these guys got reintegrated. They have to kind of readjust and I think they're going to be a problem.
I think so too.
Play in playoffs start. So,
yeah.
But one other thing I want to point out, bro, is the team that you were very high on before the season started, man, and you are showing out, bro. All right.
Yeah.
The Pistons, dude.
The Pistons.
Oh my God. I mean, they are vying for potentially going up to the fifth seed.
They're
yes, only
they
like
are.
Now
yes, they are.
Against the Bucks, right? So this team has just been rolling. Cade Cunningham has arrived, dude. Okay. That guy is a stud. He is
That's
a stud,
great.
Right? And he's
yep.
a very good player. And they have a good balanced team, right? So, and their metrics will show so. I mean, like, you look at their offensive rating, 14, that's middle of the pack. Defense,
yep.
middle of the pack. Net rating, yep. middle of the pack.
They're
a team that's on the rise. They're middle of the pack for every category, essentially, right? They're telling you that they're a dangerous team, man. So,
correct.
So, okay, do you see them continue to climb, or do you think that's where they're
going
to
start? No, I think we talked about this maybe a week or two ago. No, I think their best case scenario to stay where they're at.
I don't know if they might catch
the Bucks, but then go above them and then drop below them. But I think ultimately they end up in the sixth seed, somewhere 6-7 seed is where I would. No, I don't think they would end up at the five. They might. I might
yeah.
be wrong, but I mean, I want to be clear. You know, they were my team to watch. I didn't think it was like this.
I didn't either.
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
Either.
I thought maybe they'd be in the 8-9 conversation. You know, kind
right.
of deal. You know, especially given how horrible their record was last year. So
yeah.
that's where I thought they were. So they've even superseded what I thought they would do.
Well, I'm conceding that bet to you already, bro. Okay, because right. I picked the Blazers to be, you know, better than them.
Which they are. They are.
They are better like than they were last year. Both teams are better than last year.
They're not doing as well as the Pistons.
I said the Blazers are going to be better than the Pistons, right?
Yes, correct.
And you're right because, you know, the Blazers play in the Western Conference. The Pistons play in the Eastern Conference. Eastern Conference has three really good teams, right? Okay.
Yep.
Really two that are like outstanding, right? And the Knicks being a team that, which is interesting if you look at their analytics, you know, Tom Thibodeau is usually a very defensive-minded coach. And look at the analytics here, man. Yeah. They're like the 22nd rated defense in the entire NBA. And now they become all of a sudden this offensive juggernaut of a team with the third rated best team.
Well, that's the Carl Anthony Towns effect right there.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah. All right. I still think, I don't know if you saw this stat. They posted it when the Knicks were getting blown out by the Celtics. The Knicks they're like 0-7 against the top seeded teams in the East.
Oh, interesting.
They haven't won. You know,
wow.
They haven't won head to head against these guys. So that's going to be interesting to see. But until Thibodeau can expand his bench, I would feel a lot better if his bench was somewhere in the low 20s, high teens. You know, somewhere in that.
As far as rankings you're talking about.
Yeah, right? As far as rankings. Yeah.
Not
he's
dead last.
He's the weight a little bit, you know.
Yeah, not dead last.
Yeah, not, yeah, exactly. Like dead last.
Yeah, and you know what surprised me? And by the way, any other comments before we go to the Western Conference?
No, I just one thing to note: it's not on here. I mean, I think it's over for them, but there is still the wild card. If Philadelphia decides to get their act together, they could sneak their head.
Yeah, but they're going to shut down Joel Embiid, dude.
It hasn't been confirmed. They're going to see him in surgery or whatever. But it's coming,
man. Once he's gone, it's over.
You know, Paul George is talking about like how this team doesn't have what it takes to be a champion and they don't practice right. And they're like, yeah, so they're already like I think Maury's going to get fired. I think they're going to do something in the offseason. But
you know, and by the way, that's the name of the GM that we're trying to figure out. Maury, it was Daryl Morey. Like
Maury, Daryl Morey, right? Yeah.
Who's that guy? You're Houston. Yeah, I'm like, Daryl Morey, remember, right?
Yeah.
It was Daryl Morey.
James Harden's best friend.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so let's segue to the West. And the reason why I want to segue to the West is because the point that I was about to make here is that the Knicks, right, the Knicks had the 30th worst bench in the entire NBA. And what surprised me is I thought the Denver Nuggets were going to be the team with the worst bench. Because we were talking that they were a team that were going to struggle because they just didn't have any bench depth at all, right, at all. But you can see here.
Thank you, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, exactly. But they're the third rated team in the conference right now. You can see the 1 through 10, the Kings being the 10th and then Thunder being the first. But you can see if you look at the third row, that's the Nuggets. But at the far right of that is the bench scoring. And you can see that they're the 27th ranked bench, which I thought they'd be number 30. So the Kings are actually tied with the freaking with the Knicks because in this the 30th ranked but you can correct. See right there the starters the I mean, that's complete
so one's 29 and one's 30 but yeah
correct right yeah. right so exactly right but anyway so but you know as you noted here earlier the Lakers they have definitely played well I mean and considering losing an Anthony Davis a defensive anchor like that and bringing someone who's more offensive oriented not initially a defensive guy and Luka Doncic and really don't have any centers to think of on that team. They're playing way out of their minds right now, man.
They are.
J.J. Redick has done a good job in bringing that team together, man. I got to give kudos to them, man. Big time.
I agree. You have to give him kudos. I didn't think he'd do well, and he's doing much better than I thought.
Right. But let's get to look at the analytics, right? We talked about the net rating of last year that Boston Celtics got 11.7, a record. These guys are at 12.8, a full point, 1.1 better than that in the Oklahoma City Thunder. That is crazy. Look at their defensive rating at 106, right?
Which if you recall on the previous slide, the Magic are number two, and they're at 109. They're 3 points less.
Exactly.
3 points less than the next team. That's insane.
But this team is so deep. And what surprises me about this is that, you know, you would think that their bench would be ranked higher than it is because they're such a deep team. And it's probably a byproduct of Chet Holmgren being out, then Isaiah Hartenstein, you know. He would have been the bench player coming off the bench for the most part. Yeah. You're starting to see that now. I'll see that number starting to climb, I think, in the ensuing weeks. But, you know, I would say that would probably inch more towards, like, maybe the 15 to 16 range, right? Which is respectable, right?
That is, yeah. But if you can stay in the middle of the pack on the bench scoring, I think that's a good place.
Yep. And the other one is, okay, looking at the bench scoring on that column again, Look at number one, the Warriors.
The Warriors.
Right? Warriors. Number two, the Grizzlies. Now, correct. When I saw this, I thought the Grizzlies would be number one, honestly. When I first kind of started thinking about it without looking at the stats, I'm thinking the Grizzlies are super deep, man. They have so many players that are good on that team. And I'm thinking they're the team. But the Warriors are actually the team.
Well,
with the depth.
I'll tell you an interesting little thought that came across my mind, Eddie. So, yeah. You know, obviously we're Warriors fans, and we know a lot about the Warriors. The Warriors have had something like 34 to 37 different starting lineups.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious as to how you decipher the – is it just who happens to be on the bench at that particular game?
You know, it's a good question. It's probably minutes played. It probably comes down to they probably have some kind of barometer of how many, you know, minutes a starter typically plays, and that's probably what they – how they figure that out. That's probably the only way I think you can figure that out, honestly, bro.
Yeah, because then yeah. If that's true, I mean, we're going to have some kind of mung because, you know, the Warriors start a lot of different lineups. And yeah. So it's just going to be interesting how they calculate that.
Yeah. I hear you, man. But check this out. One thing I want to point out here, bro, is you look – we focused on net rating, right, in the Eastern Conference. You look at this right here, the net rating in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
There are five single-digit teams.
Correct.
Right? In net rating in the Western Conference. This tells you this freaking conference is strong, man. It's like,
it is.
And the Lakers are not even that far behind it. You know, they could easily get there, you know? So, the net rating doesn't lie. It tells you how good a team really is, right?
Correct.
And that's what you want to focus on to see how good a team really is. All these other factors, you know, true shooting percentage, free throw percentage, starters, bench, that's just a supplement, you know, that number, right?
Yeah, they end up towards that number.
Correct. They supplement and help you, give you some context as to why their net rating is what it is, okay?
Correct.
But net rating is the true determinator of how good a team is, and the Western Conference is completely ridiculous, right, from that standpoint. Now,
and to note, two teams in the Western Conference, the Rockets and the Clippers, have been slipping as of late. So, you know, had we grabbed these numbers maybe 2 weeks ago, they would have been better than they are now, I think, for those particular teams. They probably would have been a little higher ranked.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And check this out. So the other team I want to point out to, the Mavs. The Mavs have been slipping. And it's predominant, I think, because a lot of their bigs are out. Really?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's a big part of the reason why they're losing. And there's a Luka Doncic effect. And of course, I'm sure there's a total hangover, you know, from the entire city still mourning, you know, of Luka Doncic when he left, right?
I'd be mourning.
Big time, man. I mean, but it's had a big effect on the organization, right? You can just see it's weighing them down a little bit. And it's kind of, I think this is kind of a lasting effect of that. So the Cavs
I think it wouldn't have weighed them down if Anthony Davis didn't get hurt.
Yeah, I agree with you.
They would have had something to look for. Right now, all they can do is just think of what was.
I agree with you. But another team that's been slipping are the Kings, because the Kings started out pretty hot once Doug Christie took over for Mike Brown as the coach. They were on a tear, and then of course De'Aaron Fox got traded. Now De'Aaron Fox, got traded. That's a big impact to that team because now they really don't have a true point guard. They don't. They have Malik Monk.
They got Malik Monk running the point.
Who's trying to run the point. That's kind of a new position for him. He can do it, you know, but he's not like – he was never kind of deemed the guy, right, as a point guard.
Yeah.
Now he's the guy. He's predominantly like a six-man-of-the-year scoring kind of guy. And I think you might – either one of us picked him as a six-man-of-the-year. I think it might have been you. I'm not sure. I think I picked Benedict Mathurin. And I forgot who you – oh, I think you picked Dante DiVincenzo.
I picked Dante.
And he's kind of in and out of the starting
lineup. And then also with the Kings, I mean, he just scored a 40-point game against the Charlotte, but Zach LaVine has been playing pretty horribly outside of that game. He hasn't been doing very well, so far.
DeMar DeRozan and him played for the Chicago Bulls, right?
Yep.
So essentially the Sacramento Kings are Chicago Bulls of the
West. Yeah, all they need is Valanciunas, and they're good to go.
All right, so looking at the trends of this conference, all right, do you see the seedings essentially continue to where it's at? The top three teams I think are probably pretty much going to stay put. Now the 4, 5, and 6, you know, the Warriors are definitely, you know, that's their goal, is to get to the sixth seed. And
correct.
You know, what helps is that the Mavs have slipped, the Kings have slipped, the Spurs have slipped. You know, the Clippers are a team that was always kind of dangerous, and you know, once Kawhi Leonard comes through, they're going to be even more dangerous. And Kawhi Leonard is there, but he still kind of takes some time off sometimes on certain nights because his knee still causes some problems, right, for him.
Yep.
But the Rockets have slipped. you know? And then the Wolves are starting to kind of figure things out too, because they've been kind of like lingering around 500 for most of the year, but they've been kind of starting to figure it out lately. And they seem to be a team on the rise. And if you look at their analytics here, it shows you that from an offensive rating standpoint, they're 12. And then from a defensive rating, they're 7th, which is respectable, right? And that rating of 8. They're the only team that's in single digits in the play-in box right now. That tells you that this team is probably doesn't really need to be there. They're probably going to start rising. In my opinion, yeah. I think they're the team that the Warriors and the Wolves are the teams that are to look out for. That I think are
going to rise. What I would say, one thing that I would use the stats to look at, and that would be anybody who is who's got a above 500 record, which is I think everybody on this chart.
Yep.
Like the Lakers are winning games, but their defensive net rating or their overall net rating is 1.3, which means they're winning a lot of close games.
Close games. Like
that's really what that means. And so when I look at that, I think at some point, does that balance itself out? You know, do they start to lose some of those close games? So I would take a look at that. I think the Clippers and the Rockets are going to drop below your line. And I think that the Warriors and Wolves are going to go above your line. Yep. And I think if the Mavs get their people back, they run a chance of getting up that line as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Mavs scare me, man. I mean, that team, they have a lot of good players that are not like all-star quality type players. They just have a lot of good players, man. They're just a deep team. And
but let me ask you this, Eddie. Do they scare you if they don't have Anthony Davis on the court?
They scare me as being kind of like a Memphis Grizzly-like kind of composition team. They're very similar, right? Because the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, being the number two team in the West, they don't really have any really all-star kind of guys that are consistent, right? John Morant's probably the most flashiest guy. And then Triple J. Aaron Jackson Jr. is probably the other guy. Then you have another guy, Desmond Bain, who kind of shows flashes here and there. But then after that, it's a bunch of guys that are good.
And they've had two rookies, Wells and Edie, that have been playing very well.
Wells has been playing very well. He's played very well.
But again, you're right. They have one superstar in John Morant. They've got a starter that would start for any team in Triple J. And then after that, you're right. They just got some dudes.
Exactly. A bunch of good dudes, though.
Yeah.
Not just good dudes. Just good guy dudes. Like, you know, Charles Barkley says.
Dude, yeah. Not other dudes. Good dudes.
That's why the Mavericks are similar to me.
But I think the difference between being successful or not, it comes down to Anthony Davis's availability. Even if they get Lively, well, Lively's not coming back, but
he's not coming
even
back
if they
year.
Got Lively and Gafford back, that's still not enough. To me, they have to have Anthony Davis.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Anthony Davis is a team changer when he's healthy.
Yeah.
Right?
And we know how often that is.
Yeah. But he was a big reason why. I mean, we know Steph Curry just lit it up in Team USA, you know, in the finals. But Anthony Davis was a big part of the reason why that team was successful.
He was the secret MVP.
Absolutely, man. All right, man. So any other comments before we dovetail to our next segment?
No, again, same observation as I did. I'm going to be really curious to see how the Lakers and Nuggets do in the postseason. You know, they rely heavily on their starters. You know, what's going to be interesting is LeBron James throughout the regular season, a little bit more each year, calculates his energy. You know, he plays less defense, plays less games. I'm curious as to how he's going to manipulate that in the postseason. And if he takes some time off, that means they're going to have to depend on their bench. And I think the Lakers, that could be an issue for them.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And they're also a very top-heavy team. You know, with respect to just Luka and LeBron. And then, of course, Austin Reeves has actually shown out to be a pretty damn good player. So I would say those are the big three after that. They have a bunch of guys, but they're not guys like the Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies, right?
Well, they have excellent 1-2s and 3s, right? They got excellent 1-2s and 3s. When they get to the 4s and the 5s, things start getting a little hazy. And then
the Nuggets,
you know, Jamal Murray has been – I wouldn't say he's injury prone, but he's been hurt significant amount of time the last 3 or 4 years. And so, you know, if he comes out, you know, that means Russell Westbrook going to have to fill in. What does that do? Does that put more pressure on the bench? So those two teams are going to be interesting. And, you know, one thing I found fascinating was, you know, the Lakers beat the Nuggets a couple of days ago, you know, earlier in the week. And they hadn't beat them in a long time. And so that's the kind of the Luka effect. So that's going to be interesting because, you know, the Nuggets were definitely the Lakers' kryptonite the last couple of years.
Yep. No, I agree with you, man. I agree, yep. man. So right on, man. So let's move on to the next segment. So this is a we didn't go to the next segment. This is the reason why I want to show this, let me take this thing off here.
Yeah.
So this is the comparison of the two conferences. And the highlighted area is what I kind of wanted, you know, the audience to focus on. You can see that for all the different categories that we have, you know, offensive, defensive, net, true shooting, percentage, all the way down to the bench. What I wanted to show is kind of how they compare and contrast to each other. So if you look at the offensive rating, they're really close, okay? But, you know, it looks like the Western Conference collectively from the top 10 team standpoint, they're slightly better, okay? If you look at the defensive rating, again, the collective, they're slightly better at 111.88 average versus 113.12, which would put them at, you know, 10, you know, as an average, whereas 13 ranked for the Eastern Conference. This is kind of showing you the strength of the conferences between them. But look at the net rating, bro. Net rating is huge.
It's almost two points better.
Exactly. Yep. Between the East and the West. That tells you, I mean, the West is significantly stronger. Now, all these other ancillary categories, they're nice to know, right? But, you know, it looks like the Eastern Conference slightly is better from a true shooting percentage standpoint.
Interesting, Eddie, about that one, right?
Yeah.
Both true shooting and free throw percentage, well, maybe not free throw percentage, but true shooting, that is a direct correlation on how good the defense is. So I would expect
the defense that they play against.
Correct, but if the Eastern Conference has a worse defense as a whole, they're going to have a better true shooting percentage.
Yeah. Correct.
So I would expect that to be that way, right? I would expect them to have a better shooting percentage because they're playing against weaker defenses.
Right. And what's interesting is look at the free throw disparity. The free throw percentage disparity between the two. It's huge. The Eastern Conference is significantly better on the top 10 teams. So almost 3 points better. And then the bench versus the starters, I mean, you know, the starters – look, you know, more, they look stronger in the West, but, you know, by four slots better, right? Like, you know, 3 points better. And then the bench players in the East tend to be a little bit better than the West. Yep. So I just want to kind of break it down. So since we kind of spent some time putting these numbers together.
I like this.
Compare and contrast the conference.
Well, this is going to be great when the postseason start to see how these things play out in the postseason.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, everything slows down. The bench probably doesn't take as much of a role. The starters kind of take as much role. But as you pointed out, for the regular season, if you see a starters being, you know, a team that's very dependent on their starters, that means that that team has probably got a bunch of worn out starters that are not necessarily ready. You know, exactly. To be going on a long run in the playoffs, right?
So yeah, exactly, exactly. I'm really going to be interested in telling how offensively impacted or how tired the offenses are when we get to the postseason for those teams that have lower ranked benches. And in this case, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Nuggets, and the Lakers. I would say that those four teams are going to be interesting to watch in the postseason.
Yep, for sure, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. So that covers our segment on the NBA playoff races. Let's go on to a segment that we cover on a monthly basis.
Bob is back on top.
All right. So what we have here is we have this segment called Rookie Watch. It's essentially just kind of wanting to show, you know, the progress of some of the top rookies in different categories. And you can see on the left column, that's episode 39. That's today's episode. And these are the rankings as of today. How that compares and contrasts to the episode 32 rankings, which we did, you know, a little bit over a month ago, is what you're going to see. And that's what I wanted to point out is when you see kind of the red and the green letters and all that, that's just showing you the delta in the amount of minutes that has changed, okay, between last rankings episode and this rankings episode. And you can see that for example, Bud Carrington, last time he had 30 minutes per game. Now he's at 29.3. He hasn't changed his ranking. That's what that no change means. He was first last time. He's first this time. That's what that no change means. But his minutes per game dropped by 0.7 points, right? So 0.7 minutes, I should say. So all the way down. So what I wanted to point out here, bro, is that you have one player on your team, on your fantasy team, that's on this list. Reese Arsay, man. I have Alex Saar. I have Stephon Castle. Oh, and I have Cody Williams. That surprised me when he was on this list, man, because he doesn't play that many games. But I guess when he plays decent minutes.
I guess so, man. Yeah. And well, plus they've had a lot of Lauri Markkanen has been hurt. They've had a lot of players that have been hurt, so they're digging deep into their bench.
But what's interesting, you know,
it doesn't surprise me that, you know, like for example, you know, Reed Sheppard is one of my guys, but he's on a team that he's a playoff team, so he's not going to get very many minutes, right? They're not, they're just not going to use him. So all the people that you have here that are reflected, including Reese Archer, they're on teams that are struggling, and so they're playing their younger players a little more than a playoff team would.
But what's interesting, bro, is that I thought your boy Kyle Filipowski would have broken the top.
Yeah,
he was right behind Cody Williams, barely. Okay, so he would have been there. But what surprised me, because I see Filipowski playing a lot more than Cody Williams, but I guess when Cody Williams plays, he plays more minutes. I don't know, man. But anyway, that was surprising. So
what's interesting too is Dalton Knecht, right? Is for those of you that don't recall or remember, the Lakers trying to trade Dalton Knecht for Williams over there in Charlotte.
Mark Williams. Yep.
Yeah, Mark Williams didn't pass the physical, or at least that's what the Lakers say. And they kind of re-undid everything. And so I haven't been watching a ton of Laker games, but I'm curious as to what, you know, Dalton Knecht's minutes are now after the trade, and, you know, if it affected him in any sort of way.
He's playing like, you know, 12 to 14 minutes a night is kind of what he's playing right now.
Okay. And so that's dropped. That's almost a 10-minute drop per game.
For sure. Right. That's why he's not on this list.
Yeah.
And the new entrants on this list are the ones on the bottom, Isaiah Collier and Cody Williams, right? They were on the list last time. That's why they're highlighted in yellow.
Yeah.
But you can see, like, you know, this list is just kind of an indication of, you know, which rookies are getting the time to be able to be seen, you know, by the people who actually vote for Rookie of the Year, right? So you can see here, Bob Carrington has been getting a lot of minutes, right? Has he been effective in his minutes? We'll find out in the ensuing slides, right? So the next slide, man. Let's go to the next slide. So here we are. These are the top 10 in points per game, okay? Now, Stephon Castle now is in the lead, okay?
Yes.
And he's been playing really well. He has been playing very well. And you can see that, you know, he's scoring 12.6 points per game compared to last time, which was 10.9. So it's up by 1.7, which is what you see in the green, you know, plus 1.7. But the up four tells you he's moved up four slots, right? So he's moved up from last time, he was fifth, you know, in the rankings of in episode 32, to now he's not first, right? Then you get, again, bro, I want to point out
I want to point out, the later we go into the season, the harder it is to move up and down this list.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Because they're pretty much entrenched right now in this list, right? in the rankings right now. So, but I want, you know, there's two of your boys on this list, bro. Okay, you got Zachary Richardson and you have Dalton Knecht, okay?
Correct.
Then you got me. I got Alex Sarr. I have Zach Edey. And then I also have Stephon Castle. I think I'm going to win that vote, that little bit. It's all right, man. It's all right, bro.
I don't want to talk about that.
I don't want to talk about it. But you can see Khalil Ware
and what's interesting is, you know, Khalil Ware, who we were impressed with in the summer league.
Yeah.
I really hadn't played at all. You know, he wasn't showing up on any of these lists in any way, shape, or form. And now, you know, in terms of points per game, he cracked the list. He cracked the top 10.
Exactly. So Khalil Ware is now he's on this list. And then Keyshawn George is now on this list as well. All right.
Yep.
So, you know, as far as points per game, because let's give it to the freaking Washington Wizards. They're playing their guys. They drafted three guys and they're playing all their guys, right? They are the worst team in the league for a reason, right? Because, you know, they're trying to get Cooper Flagg, man.
They are trying to. Everyone's trying to get Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly, man. All right. So let's go on to the next one. So this is kind of what I wanted to focus on the overall statistical rankings.
Yep.
This is kind of what we do, you know, in our fantasy league, is I kind of keep track of points, rebounds, assists, blocks, turnovers, and all of these factor in. And from a website that I kind of looked at here that kind of came up with these numbers, the rankings that you see on the episode, 32, which I didn't put there, but that was episode 32. Zach Edey was the number one guy from an overall effectiveness standpoint. If you look at his effectiveness on a per minute basis in accumulating stats, he was number one. He's number one again. Okay. So is Alex Sarr. He's number two. That hasn't changed. The top two. Now Donovan Clingan has moved up now to number three. He's moved up. You know, he was the number five guy. He's getting a lot more playing time in Portland, right? Now I think, you know, what's his name? I forgot his name. The guy who's the center. Oh, DeAndre Ayton. That's the guy. DeAndre Ayton has been in and out, right? He's been hurt, you know, and Donovan Clingan out of Portland now has been playing more. So he's taking advantage of his opportunity. Eze Missy is another guy who as a essentially he slipped by one, but he's been getting a lot of playing time in New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans is, you know, they're a team that has tanked big time, and you know they're giving, you know, kudos to them to giving a guy like him the more playing time. Khalil Ware is the guy who's been getting a lot of playing time, as you mentioned as well. You know, so and check it out, number 10, Quentin Post. Quentin Post,
yes,
he has entered the building. Okay, now he's now the 10th most effective rookie in the list. So, and then your boy Zachary Richardson wasn't on this list last time, but he's now on this list this time, right? Correct.
And you know, so, and what I find fascinating about this, Eddie, is obviously I'm sure you have a slide that's going to show who NBA's
correct. That's the next slide. At,
you know, MVP, and there's, I mean, obviously like Quentin Post. Yeah, I'm excited he's here, but you know, his minutes played are significantly less than most of these guys on the team. I mean, he just hasn't played very many games.
Right.
But it really, for someone like Donovan Clingan, it's really kind of unfair, you know, where this guy's been playing, had some minutes, but on your other list, he doesn't show up because he's not getting as many minutes. He's not scoring as many points, but he's getting rebounds, assists, blocks, those types of things, you know, and those should count for something. And the NBA, when they do their, you know, woo-hoo, celebrating and their pom-poms, it's all about points.
Points.
That's who we
focus
about.
That's
all
who they focus on. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? They don't look at it from this standpoint. They don't look at it from this standpoint. This tells you right here how effective a player is in accumulating stats. Now, does it correlate to winning? I don't know. I mean, you know, usually the guys because I play fantasy, you know, basketball and, you know, we play fantasy sports. The guys that accumulate stats usually are the better guys in the league. Now, they can't help it if they're on a bad team, right? So, you know, this is a true indicator of how good a player is. Now, if we can go to the next slide, you can see now that, unfortunately, the number 213 got in the way of Stephon Castle, but you can see that the NBA.com has Stephon Castle as the number one guy, right?
Correct.
What's interesting is that Stephon Castle wasn't even on this list on the
analytics. Correct.
He was actually, I think, number 11 or number 12. He was right behind Quentin Post. Now, again, they're looking at it from a per-minute basis, okay? They're not looking at a per-game basis. They're looking at a per-minute basis of how these guys accumulate stats, right? Whether that's right or wrong. But it's interesting, Stephon Castle is number one. He's on the analytics list. Zach Edey's number two, and he's on number one on the analytics list.
Yep.
Then
Alex Carr.
He's number eight, but he's now number two on the analytics list. Donovan Clingan's nowhere to be seen. Is Missy there?
Isaiah Collier.
Yeah. No, exactly. Yeah. And then Khalil Ware there. He's Khalil Ware and he's Mister are both there. Bob Carrington. That's accurate, right? Keyshawn George, not to be seen. Okay. Jalen Wells, for sure. You know, he's number three on the list, according to NBA.com.
Yeah.
He's number eight on the analytics standpoint. Zachary Richardson is number six. He's number eight number nine on the analytics. And Quentin Post is nowhere to be seen. Right. So very interesting process. But, you know, I think, you know, analytics aside, to me, Stephon Castle, I think, is the rookie of the year. So I think they got it.
Yeah, right. I think I agree with you. I think Stephon Castle is going to win rookie of the year. I don't see, you know, and the kid who was playing Ivy, who was playing good in Philadelphia, he got hurt. And so.
Oh, no, no. You're talking about Jared McCain.
Jared McCain.
Yeah, he's been hurt.
He's been hurt. And he was I think he would have been on this list. It would have definitely been someone that would have had an impact here. He's been hurt. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think Stephon Castle at this point is pretty close to – the cement is poured. It's not quite dried yet, but it's getting there.
It's there, man. And what's interesting on the analytics rankings, actually, Jared McCain was actually number one. He actually was number one. But I omitted him because he hasn't played in, like, months, dude. So I didn't want to put him there because he hasn't been playing. Right?
Oh, so Stephon Castle was really number two?
No. I'm saying Jared McCain, the guy that you just pointed out from the
States,
he actually was number one on the analytics rankings.
Oh,
Zach
gotcha.
Edey is right now.
Gotcha.
Zach
gotcha.
Edey was number one, but I omitted Jared McCain because he hasn't played in a long time.
I got
it.
So yeah,
from a per minute standpoint, he was number one by a lot. Actually.
Okay, gotcha.
But I took him out just because he.
So from an analytics perspective, Zach Edey was number two on both.
Yes. Correct.
Okay. Which, if you look at it from that perspective, then he should probably win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, but I think Stephon Castle, is.
I think Stephon Castle's going to win it. He's more exciting. I agree. But if you look at it from a numbers perspective, Zach Edey probably should win.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. It's going to be close. It's going to be between those two, right? Yeah. It's going to be between those.
No, but I'm with you. I think Stephon Castle is going to win it.
Yeah.
But from an analytics perspective, he's not even in the top 10.
That's what's interesting, man.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That tells me he's not the most efficient on a per minutes basis.
Correct.
He may get a lot of points, but it might take him 35, 40 minutes to get there, right?
Correct.
Speaking of, now
that we're talking about Stephon Castle, really quick, you know, as you guys may already know, I know we're a week behind, but Wemby had a blood clot in his shoulder.
Yeah.
He's out for the season. For those that don't know, that blood clot situation was the same thing that ended Chris Bosh's career. I don't think it's serious. The Spurs have said that they expect him to return and they're not concerned. Who knows? That might just be media talk, but you know, that would be a considerable shot to the league. Because he is shaping up to be a hell of a player. He already is a hell of a player. These tall guys, especially these like 7'4", I mean, I think of George Mirason. I think of
Manute Bol.
I mean, you know, Manute Bol actually had a pretty lengthy career. I think he played like 10 seasons.
Yeah.
But these really, really tall guys, they don't – Yao Ming only played
Sean Bradley played barely five
seasons.
Yao Ming.
These guys don't play a lot of seasons. And so, you know, any time that Wemby's misses right now is potentially risky on an already maybe shortened career overall. You know, and so that was really a big hit. I think the Spurs had sights to try to crack that top 10 in the playoffs and try to do something.
That's why
now they may be in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. I don't know,
what's happening.
I mean, Greg Papa, too, was Greg Popovich was
He had a stroke, mini stroke.
Yeah, no, but what's announced is he's done. He's not coming back for this year.
He's not coming back,
We don't know what his future holds. So San Antonio's in a little bit of flux. Overall. So it's going to be interesting, but I thought it was important that we just quickly point that out about Wemby being out and the impact that could have in the league.
Oh, for sure, man. And the guy is such a beast of a player. He's incredible, man.
We both had him as our defensive player of the year, which he will.
And you know what's funny is that, you know, what's interesting, he doesn't qualify for it now.
He won't qualify.
Because he hasn't played. I think he's short for by like 5 or 6 games.
Correct.
Or something like that. I forgot how many. Yeah. I think you have to play 60 games or 64 games, whatever it is, right, to qualify. And he can't qualify. So now
don't be surprised if a certain Draymond Green is going to
start. Draymond Green is now trying to step up to be that guy, right?
Yeah. All right, Rudy Gobert was the one who won it the last couple of years, but he's been out, and I don't know what his status is. And I think Draymond would blow a head gasket if Rudy wins it again. He hates that
game. I know. I know. But, no, Draymond Green's been playing well. So he's definitely in the running for sure, man.
Yeah.
All right, All right, man. So let's go on to the next segment. That closes out our rookie watch. Again, we cover that every month, right? So, all right. So let me go ahead and get rid of this. So we're now on the conference seedings and rookie fantasy league update. We spent about 3 to 4 minutes to kind of go over this, but you know, Tuan and I had started out with what we projected as the rankings, for each conference. And that was, you can see is, for each of these columns, the ones that are highlighted in kind of orangey, light orange are the Western Conference, and then the East are the blue. Tuan's first, me second, as you look left to right. And then each of those have an actual and a projected. And the projected is what we picked as the seedings. Now, last week, you were up by 61-58, right? And then now, you can see that you are now up 59-54. Okay. You picked up some, you know, and then the big change right now is just in the Eastern Conference, you know, and how we do this is based on where they are ranked. You get 5 points with the exact same slot of where they're at, right? So you can see in the Eastern Conference, if you look at Tuan's, the Bucks, he had him at number 5, the Rats at number 5. So he gets 5 points, right? So, and then you see the Bulls, he has him at number 10, 5 points. That's how you get it. Now 3 points is like for the Celtics. He has them at the second rank, and then he actually projected them to be number 1. They're at number 2, so they're being one away, you get 3 points, right?
Yep.
And then if for 2 spots away, you get 2 points. More than that, you get 0 points. That's why you see a bunch of zeros in the Western Conference, bro. It's ugly, dude.
There's been a lot of teams that have really, really underperformed, and right off the top, the Suns, the Pelicans. Oh. Even to some extent, the Timberwolves, I had them projected as second,
You both did.
You did as well. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of disappointing. I mean, there's been a lot of disappointment, both in the East and West. I mean, the Sixers in the East, you know, but yeah, there's a lot of zeros. I agree with you. There's
a lot of zeros, man.
I think we're going to end up with a lot of zeros.
Yeah, I mean, and just so you know, the 59 is out of a possible 175. Okay, that's I'm assuming out of 150. So 59 out of 150, that's the percentage of how well we're doing, right? Overall. So 150 is a
perfect score. Not even half good.
Not even, but no one would have picked the Western Conference to be like this, man. I mean, if anybody did.
No, I agree.
There's no way, man. There's so much movement in the Western Conference. Now, everybody knew the Thunder were going to be that good. I didn't see the Grizzlies being that good. In a way. And the Wolves, we thought, again, that we didn't see them slipping that much. We knew the Nuggets were a top 14, right? And the Mavs
I had the Grizzlies as a 9 seed, and I'm thinking, you know, they're going to have a pretty good season at 9. Dude, they're – yeah, I think the Nuggets may catch the Grizzlies here, but the Grizzlies are going to end up in the top 4.
Yeah. No, I agree. They're there, man. They're a very deep team. They scare me because they're just so deep, man. So,
yeah.
All right, let's go on to the next one, man. We go on to this is our last slide, right?
So.
What I wanted to show here, bro, and by the way, do you see I have Stephon Castle plus
50? Yeah, I see your plus 50.
Okay, plus 50. And by the way, the reason why he gets plus 50 is because Swan and I had a bet in the dunk contest because we both had players in the dunk contest in our fantasy
league.
He had Matas Bucelis, and I had Stephon Castle. And Stephon Castle was in the finals and actually did pretty well compared, you know, to Mac McClung, right? He didn't jump over any cars or do any ladder things like that, but he was respectable there, man. So, so with that, you can see that, you know, over the course of the last week, okay, you have from game number 51, you know, I gained 10 points on you. From game number 52, you actually came back and won by another 20 points. Game 3, we've been seesawing back and forth, right? You can see that there's a lot of ground for you to make up. And then you made up a lot of ground in game number 57 right now. Okay.
Yes. Well, we still have Stephon Castle that has to play.
I still have Stephon Castle, and then you have Dalton Connect, right? But you can see that, you know, and then right now in game number 58, you only have one guy that played in that. Look at that. 31.1 points by Matas Buzelis.
Buzelis!
Yeah, but look at Filipowski in game number 57. 47.7 points. Look at Restart Shea, 41.7.
Yes.
Dude, that's a major. I mean, that's what you need from here on out, bro.
I agree. I don't think I'm gonna get it. Although Buzelis, you know, he's kind of up and down, but in an upward trajectory. So I'm hoping he can average, you know, somewhere close to 20 points a game. I mean, 20 overall standings. But we'll see. Shepherd's the one that's just gonna be the death of me because I didn't think the Rockets would be as good as they are, and they're fighting for position. And
Shepherd's just not playing, man.
He's just not going to get minutes. He's just not going to get
minutes. No, he's not. And the thing is, what's interesting, he was your second pick, okay? Cody Williams was my third pick, I think. He was there. And so your second pick and my third pick are very close in points, right?
Correct.
So look at Sarr and look at Castle. Now, Castle scoring 1246 possible fantasy points, you know, compared to Zach Edey from that, you know, from the NBA.com rookie ladder. Those are the top two. If you can see that disparity, almost a 300-point disparity in terms of stats accumulated in scoring points, you know, Castle by far is the rookie of the year right now, right?
So from that standpoint, you're right. Correct.
From that standpoint, yes. But the numbers show that he should be the rookie of the year from a just
he will be.
He will be, yeah, but if you look at the numbers here, Zach Edey versus Alex Sarr has accumulated a lot more, but if you look at it on a per game or per minute basis, probably Edie's probably been better overall, but Sarr has definitely showed that he deserved to be in the top two, you know, because it's not a very strong offensive minded rookie class. These are kind of rotational pieces, in my opinion.
I agree. Most of them are.
Yeah. I mean, Edie is a starter. Castle is, you know, he comes off the bench sometimes. He starts depending on matchups. Sarr starts, right? I mean, the Wizards picked all their players, and they're all starting. Bud Carrington, Keyshawn George, and Alex.
But what I'm saying in terms of makeups to being a star, I think Castle can be a star. And I think, you know, everyone out there can laugh at me. I think Buzelis has what it takes to be a star. Whether he'll be one or not, we'll see. You know, that's a different. But he's got the stuff.
he's got the swag, man. Yeah. He's got the swag. He's got a lot of swag, man. Yeah. So I like that kid, man. So,
well, what's interesting, though, Eddie, and I'd have to look at games played, but, you know, Filipowski is closer to Edie than Edie is to Kasper.
Right.
And Filipowski was, what, a second-round, mid-second-round pick?
He was the 30th. He might have been the 31 or 32nd pick.
Okay, so he was, like, right in the early second round.
Yeah, early second round. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, so, all right, man. So, there you have it, man. This is our show, dude. An hour and 5 minutes, dude. We almost
did it. Stayed on point.
We almost stayed at an hour, man. But, nice. You know, this is episode 39, and we talked about the NBA playoff race. There's only 25 games left to go for all the teams, and we looked at how all the teams compare, you know, from a bunch of statistical categories. We definitely focused on net rating as being the true indicator of how good a team is. We also compared how the Eastern and Western conferences compared from each of these categories. And we can see from that from a net rating and overall rating standpoint, the Western Conference looks very dominant when you compare it to the Eastern, which we already knew anyway, but the numbers kind of reflect that as well. Then we dovetailed into the rookie watch, which is something that we cover on a monthly basis. We kind of want to see, well, if the numbers kind of show that, you know, that whoever's on the top is actually going to be the rookie of the year. You know, right now, the analytics show that Zach Edey should be rookie of the year according to our analytics, but yeah. NBA.com has picked Stephon Castle. And as we looked at our conference seedings and rookie fantasy league standpoint, you know, it looks like Stephon Castle should be the guy because he has accumulated the most points, right? But he looks like he's the guy. So then and after that, you know, we just talked about, you know, again, the rankings that we do on a personal basis of each of our conference seedings and rookie fantasy contests that we have between us. So I'm going to concede that I already lost the Portland Trailblazer and, you know, you picked the Detroit Pistons. You got that bet. You're going to get yourself a McDonald's Happy Meal, bro. And
then, all right.
And then
I want a Ninja Turtle toy.
and then I'm going to win this fantasy thing, but we're going to see, we're going to play it out.
We're going to
see what happens, right?
That, yeah.
Now, you know, again, you know, we're here every Wednesday live because we want to hear from you. And we only had Lewis only chimed in once, man, you know, hopefully, you know, you chime in more next time, man, but all of you guys, you can chime in next time, but we're here every Wednesday, except for next Wednesday. We're taking next Wednesday off. Okay. So we'll be back here on March 12th, live to take your comments, your questions and all that. We're going to probably really focus in on just the, you know, the topic is probably just going to be the playoff watch for the most part. And, we'll, you know, anything else that we can think of at that time, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know if the calendar is going to line up, but I'd really like to talk about when Luka goes back to Dallas. I'd like to talk about that game. I think that might be happening within the 2 weeks that we're out. Another thing that's fascinating is, you know, I know we're homers, but the Warriors climbing up that ladder, you know, a couple weeks ago they were the 11th seed. They're now the, I believe, 8th seed. And you know, where they're going to do. So I'd like to maybe hit on that a little bit. You know, and then, I'd like to just kind of discuss are Cleveland Cavaliers the real deal? Cause metrics,
for sure.
Everything
show that they are.
Yeah.
Metrics show that they are for sure.
But the media, everyone thinks Boston's the team and they're the defending champions.
I think
Boston's the team to win.
I still think they're the team to beat, man. They
correct.
Are.
Correct. But I think that it could be the Thunder. I think easily could be the Thunder because the Thunder are everything the Cavaliers are and maybe a little more, you know, from a statistical perspective. So, you know, if we ended up with a Cleveland Cavalier Oklahoma City Thunder finals, I wouldn't mind.
I wouldn't mind it either.
Yeah, that would be a pretty exciting thing to watch.
Two small market teams, man. The NBA probably wouldn't want to see that. What the NBA would like to see is the Warriors against the Celtics again. That's what the NBA
of course. Or the Lakers against the Celtics.
You know, yeah. Right?
Or the Knicks versus the Lakers.
Correct.
Any of those markets, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. Anyway, this is
Lewis.
Lewis says, enjoy your week off, Eddie and Anthony. See you, fellas, in two. Right on, Lewis.
Thanks for listening. Sounds good, Lewis.
So, anyway, this is episode 39 of Buzzer Beaters. We are a property of GremlinsMedia.com. You can find us on GremlinsMedia.com as well as any other popular podcast outlet you can think of, Facebook, X, Pandora, Spotify, you name it. We're there. Just make sure you call out Gremlins Media or Buzzer Beaters. This is Eddie Aparicio. This is my co-host, Anthony Tuan Corral. We are also known as the Cisco Kids, and we will see you here again on Wednesday, March 12th at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Just mark your calendars and be here because we like to hear your commentary. We're here live for a reason. Anyway, again, this is the Cisco Kids. We are going to go ahead and sign off. Have a good week, and we'll see you again.